Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We had a little sound problem at 1 o'clock, so I'm hoping that the sound is on and the people in the chat room let me know. Yeah, I'm coming in loud and clear. All right. So we've been having some sound problems for the past few weeks. I don't know what it is, but anyway, hopefully we'll be able to get through this whole program without any interruptions. Amen. So welcome everybody. And don't forget our website, propheticnews.com. If you want to email me, you can email me at susan@propheticnews.com. And then we have our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio, and our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So we see enough of that going on, right? And we're living in a very dangerous time, I think, for the church, because so many false prophets that have gone out into the world and that are even being presented to us as Christians. We see this whole debacle that's going on over there at the White House with Paula White now becoming a staff member. But we talked about her book the last 2 weeks, and since she accepted this position, or she probably knew for a long time she was going to take this position at the White House because it kind of coincided with the release of her book, Something Greater, which I call Something Stupid, because they blew through over $100 million, her and her ex-husband, Randy. Now, could you imagine? Because the financial records were obtained by the Senate committee. That's why I can say that they took in over $100 million because it was recorded in a government document which was prepared by the Senate committee when they were doing the Grassley investigation. So they had to, the six ministries, I think there were six ministries at the time that were being investigated. I don't know if it was in 2007 or 2008. I can't remember exactly what year the Grassley investigation took place. But anyway, that's why I can tell you how much money they took in. It was probably much more than that. But now, how do you blow through $100 million? How do you do that? And then they wound up bankrupt. And actually, according to this government document, they were actually being foreclosed on in 2008, which I didn't know before I saw this document, which is available online, by the way. So how do you do that? And then you're being hired by the White House to be a representative for evangelicals. No. There was such an outcry. You can't believe the outcry that came out. If you get the Google alerts, if you sign up for Google alerts, and you can, they'll send you anything that appears online, well, on Google anyway, but because they're kind of trying to rule the world, right? But they'll send you these Google alerts, and then if, say, for instance, you want to know what news stories are out there by Paula White or whoever you're looking for, they'll send you an alert, and so then you'll know how many stories came out in a day. Well, there was, yikes, there must have been 50, 75 stories that came out. Newsweek, New York Times, New York Post, CNN, they were all carrying the story about her being appointed to this position at the White House as a public liaison, supposedly representing evangelical Christians. Well, I don't want her representing me. And I'm calling the White House, and I'm, here's the phone number. If you want to voice your opinion, they won't be there until Tuesday to take the calls. But here's the White House phone number. It's 202-456-1111. So that's the number for the White House. It's available online. Call the White House and tell them, no, we don't want Paula White representing us. Please, can you please get somebody that's a real Christian? What kind of qualifications could she possibly have to run any kind of a government office when she blew through $100 million, bankrupted two churches, and talks about Jesus like he's some kind of a bingo game that you play, that you throw $1,000 on number 22, and then when number 22 comes out, you go bingo. This is ridiculous. Anyway, the stories were fast and furious, and by some very excellent journalists. We had Eric Erickson from Resurgent. They did a terrific story, a couple of stories about her, and also mentioned the porn video, which her and her husband telling people to watch porn. Like, please. You can't get any more ridiculous. It's like when the Antichrist comes on the scene, and it's going to be a man, and he's going to be charismatic and probably handsome and whatever. And it's not going to matter what he did in his past or what he said in his past. People are going to go, we want him. And so it's like this whole thing with Paula White, Franklin Graham and Robert Jeffers and Jack Graham, no relation to Billy, and Jerry Falwell Jr., they all endorsed her book. Now, why? Don't they know anything about this woman? That's what I mean. These are supposed to be Christian leaders, and they endorse a person like this. So when Antichrist comes on the scene, they'll be endorsing his book too, because they won't even know what the person really believes, what the person has said in the past, which most of the things she said and the dumb, stupid things she said and the heretical things she said are available online for anybody to hear. So why aren't they finding out who the person is that they're endorsing their books and telling people to read their books and telling people what a great person they are? But that's how easy it is to be deceived. And that's exactly what's going to happen. We see the pattern being laid for us now, is that anybody could say anything. Anybody could say, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, but there's no fruit. There's no fruit. So Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. So if they have bad fruit, they're not a Christian. Anybody could, I think Hitler said he was a Christian too, so you have to judge people by their fruit. And you are permitted to judge. It's like, don't turn off your mind. If somebody is lying to you about Jesus, somebody is representing another Jesus, somebody is doing extra biblical things, you are supposed to sound the alarm and not be like that stupid, and I'm going to say it, he acted like a stupid person that Lee Grady, who writes a column for Charisma magazine, just hopefully I'll have time to get into that because I want to spend some time talking about Jonathan Cain, who's been with the band Journey. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with Journey because this is between him and Paula. So, I just have to mention that he is a member of the band Journey, and he has been since, I think, 1979 or something like that, for a long time. And he's made multiple millions of dollars. They've sold, I don't know, 100 million albums or whatever, and they made a lot of money. They go on tour now, and they make a lot of money going to these concert dates. They sell out these arenas, and so they're still very, very, very popular. Anyway, I want to devote some of my time to talking about him because he's married to Paula, and he's joined in on her scamming. He's right there scamming with her. Now, here's a guy that's worth millions of dollars. He doesn't have to scam people in the name of Jesus. Paula claims that she doesn't even have to work because she's got a rich husband. So go away. You know what I mean? Like, go away. Go enjoy your home and your husband and your grandchildren. Leave God's people alone. It's like, go away. You already have enough money of your own. You don't have to scam people, but it's like this lady, she's got a hypodermic needle in her arm, and she's shooting herself up because she has to be, she's addicted to scamming. She has to scam people. She can't keep her mouth shut. Here she's got a job for I don't know how long at the White House. Oh, please, God help us. And she's married to a rich man. So why do you have to continue to scam people for offerings and to lie to people about Jesus? Go away. Leave people alone. But that's it. It's just like an alcoholic or a glutton or somebody that's addicted to drugs. They're addicted to being out in the public. Lying is nothing to them. They don't mind lying. And the worst part is to lie in the name of Jesus. That's the worst part. So anyway, there were so many articles that came out, and just Jonathan Turley, who's a professor, Cal Thomas, who we respect and enjoyed his commentary for many years, he wrote an article about it. CNN came out and did a story about it. Over there at Fox News, they don't know what's going on because they promote this woman like, you know, she knows what she's talking about. It's like, please, wake up over there. To know, these people are supposed to be journalists. They're supposed to be investigative journalists, but they don't investigate anything. They let, for instance, Paula White goes on Shannon Bream's program, and Shannon Bream lets her say whatever she wants. She does, when she asks her if she's a heretic, she's not prepared, Shannon Bream. She's supposed to be a journalist, right? So when you're a journalist, if you ask somebody a question, you have to have something to back it up with yourself. So in case that they don't answer truthfully, you can say, well, what about this? She didn't do that. She asked Paula, well, you know, some people say you're a heretic. So of course Paula denies she's a heretic. Oh no, I'm not a heretic. And Shannon Bream's just sitting there like she doesn't know what's going on. And she doesn't come back to her and say, well, what about what you said here? And what about what you said here? Like, what about when you told people that Passover if you give a Passover offering, it'll cure cancer. What about when you told people to give you some money so they can get pregnant? What about that? What about when you said that you can give atonement offering and you can get your children saved, you can get favor with God, you can get victory over your enemies? What about when you said all that, Paula? That's journalism. That's journalism. But these people aren't journalists. They're just paid talking heads. There's some good journalists out there. Some good journalists out there. But anyway, there were so many stories. You can't believe the uproar. And that's why, let me play. This is such a, here's another dumb response. Now, this is a really dumb response from the White House spokesman that we should probably call him. I don't remember his name, but we'll get it after we listen to this clip, because CNN did a story about it. And then they checked with the White House to get their response on Paula White. So listen to this.
Church preaching.
Pastor checks the Paula White ministry.
Don, on those ethics questions, the White House explained that Pastor White is a special government employee working part-time at the White House and entitled to continue working outside of government. And Don, I also asked the White House why the president feels that Pastor White is the right messenger, given the criticism that she has faced for her prosperity gospel. White House spokesman Judd Deere said in a statement, "No president has done more for the faith-based community in the United States than Donald Trump. Pastor Paula White is someone who has the respect and admiration of the faith community across the country." And as for Pastor White, Don, she declined our request for an interview.
What was that guy saying again? I'm going to have to play that again. Judd? Was it Judd? What? What are they talking about? She has the respect of the Christian and the admiration of the Christian community? What planet are they on? Oh, please, let's play that again so we can get this guy's name.
Church preaching.
Pastor checks the Paula White ministry.
Don, on those ethics questions, the White House explained that Pastor White is a special government employee working part-time at the White House and entitled to continue working outside of government. And Don, I also asked the White House why the president feels that Pastor White is the right messenger, given the criticism that she has faced for her prosperity gospel. White House spokesman Judd Deere said in a statement, "No president has done more for the faith-based community in the United States than Donald Trump. Pastor Paula White is someone who has the respect and admiration of the faith community across the country." And as for Pastor White, Don, she declined our request for an interview.
Judd Deere, that's his name. Don't forget to call him next week or email him. Judd Deere, White House spokesman. What faith community are you talking about? Anybody that really loves Jesus knows that Paula White is a heretic. Stop it already. I can't believe this whole thing. But the Bible says it's going to happen. It's going to happen that people are going to turn away from sound doctrine, and they're going to go after people that have itching ears, you know, get their ears, tell them good things. Oh, you're going to get this, and you got a destiny, and you're going to go down in history. And when most of us are just trying to make it through the day, amen. So we're not worried about our history and what's our destiny that we must fulfill. Oh, dear. I don't know. God help us, but in the next few weeks, but it'll be interesting to see. But we've talked about this before, and the Bible says in Leviticus 20, verse 6, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them." Anyway, we're going to talk about Jonathan Cain. And that's not his real name. That's his stage name. His real name is Jonathan Friga. And Bible when you're listening to Paula White. And most of the time on this program, she does most of the talk.
You don't touch another one. In other words,
Sex is sacred. Let's talk about it.
And the perfect, relationship where God is in the relationship and it is consecrated and holy, I would like to suggest that sex is similar to worship. The pagan cultures in the Old Testament and the Corinthians, sex was a part of worship. And no wonder, for making sex a part of worship assured the worshipers of instant satisfaction. So we approach worship in a way that is all too similar to the way we approach sex. Some who feel like worship does not satisfy or fulfill them are inclined to avoid it. We evaluate worship more in terms of what we have gained and what we have given. So let us think that when it comes to worship, sacrifice, not fulfillment, I would say that worship, like sex, is not so much about seeking pleasure for ourselves as it is about giving pleasures to God.
Amen. All right, so let's get in the Word. You ready? Somebody like, oh, okay, here we go. So, verse 3.
Okay, everybody, I think I'm back. Anyway, we're going to try to get through this program, right? All right, everybody, let me know. Is it on? Is it on? Let me know. I think I'm back because I can kind of hear the feedback through my headset. Let me know if we're back on, and we will continue. All right, we're back. Okay. All right, I don't know where I left off before, but anyway, we were going to play this audio of Jonathan Cain, and he tries to teach the Bible, but of course we know he really doesn't know that much about the Bible, and but he was speaking at his wife's church on one Sunday morning here. And you never know what's going to come out of this guy's mouth. You know, just like the time when he was telling the congregation to watch porn. It's like, here's a guy that's in his 60s at the time that he said that. Who goes into a church? What normal person goes into a church and stands up on a platform, a pulpit, where they just spent I don't know how much time doing so-called worship music, and then they spout off Bible verses, and then you stand up there and you tell people to watch porn. Who does that? Anyway, she has to be careful, really, about what she lets this guy say. Now, here's one. Now, you're not gonna believe this one either.
You don't touch another one. In other words, sex is sacred. Talk about it.
In the perfect relationship, where God is in the relationship, and it is consecrated and holy. I would like to suggest that sex is similar to worship. The pagan cultures in the Old Testament and the Corinthians, sex was a part of worship. And no wonder, for making sex a part of worship assured the worshipers of instant satisfaction. So we approach worship in a way that is all too similar to the way we approach sex. Some who feel like worship does not satisfy or fulfill them are inclined to avoid it. We evaluate worship more in terms of what we have gained and what we have given. So let us think that when it comes to worship, sacrifice, not fulfillment, I would say that worship, like sex, is not so much about seeking pleasure for ourselves as it is about giving pleasures to God.
All right, so let's get in the Word. You ready? Somebody like, oh, okay, here we go. So verse 3.
You can't make this up. Sex is like, worship? What is he talking about? Oh, please. I have to play that for you again. I know you have to hear this again. Let me play this again.
You don't touch another one. In other words, sex is sacred. Let's talk about it.
In the perfect relationship where God is in the relationship and it is consecrated and holy, I would like to suggest that sex is similar to worship. The pagan cultures in the Old Testament and the Corinthians, sex was a part of worship. And no wonder, for making sex a part of worship assured the worshipers of instant satisfaction. So we approach worship in a way that is all too similar to the way we approach sex. Some who feel like worship does not satisfy or fulfill them are inclined to avoid it. We evaluate worship more in terms of what we have gained and what we have given. So let us think that when it comes to worship, sacrifice, not fulfillment. I would say that worship, like sex, is not so much about seeking pleasure for ourselves as it is about giving pleasures to God.
Amen. All right, so let's get in the Word. You ready? Right, like, okay, here we go. So, verse 3.
What are you talking about? It's like, what is that, the temple of Baal over there? Oh, help. Dear Lord, help us. I never thought I was going to hear that from a pulpit. Never. You never know what's going to come out of this guy's mouth. And this is supposed to be, here's the president, spiritual advisor, the president's pastor, so-called, and there she is. She doesn't even bat an eye. She doesn't even say, what are you talking about there? Sex is like worship. Oh. I don't know. Please, Jonathan, do yourself a favor. Don't try to teach the Bible. You don't really know that much about the Bible. You're married to someone that doesn't know anything about the Bible, except she uses the Bible as a prop for her. Or she uses it as a way to get herself out there in the public and to achieve some kind of fame and fortune. So, please, your career as a Bible teacher, forget it. Just don't teach the Bible anymore. I've got a scripture for you. It's John 3:16. Ye must be born again. When you get born again and your wife gets born again, then the both of you could start teaching the Bible. But until then, please, don't teach the Bible, because I never heard anybody that was supposedly born again and filled with the Spirit of God say that sex is like worship. That I never heard. I never heard that. I don't know what Bible you're reading, because that's in no Bible that I know about. Anyway, let's hear some other famous. Now, like I said before, and I don't know which parts got cut off. I'm going to have to edit this program, but now Jonathan Cain, who's married to Paula White Cain, and Friga is their name, really. Anyway, he's appearing on her television program. Now, they're doing her television program together, and they sit around a table, and they're going to teach the Bible. But mainly Paula tries to teach the Bible. John sits there, and he mainly nods his head. He doesn't say too much because he can't get in a word edgewise, because she starts talking, and then she starts talking like she knows what she's talking about, and then she'll give a meaning of a word. it's a comedy hour, so if you want a good laugh, it's something good to watch just to get some comedic relief, you know. So she'll say the meaning of a word, and then she'll go on and she'll say, this is what it means in the Greek. And she tries to pretend like she really knows what she's talking about. And then he sits there, and he just nods his head. And once in a while, he looks at her. Usually, when you're having a conversation with somebody, you look at each other and you talk. Most of the time, he doesn't even look at her, because she just rambles on and on and on, and most of it, it's incoherent, you know. But anyway, let's hear more from John.
Church, God. Preaching.
Scripture checks the Paula White ministry.
Don, on those ethics questions, the White House explained that Pastor White is a special government employee working part-time at...
Then I remember he was kneeling above me and he had this piece of metal cable and he was wrapping it around my ankle and then crushing...
This will be a center. We bought up 100 and almost, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 acres around here. And God said, from this... And this will just be, this will be a studio here one day because the sanctuary will be across the street and we're building a hospital and a mental health care center and everything else. And from here, we'll send missionaries all to the world. God said, raise up training in university and school. Now, how many of you were here on Sunday? I'm about to put Pastor Pushy up. How many of you were here on Sunday? Okay. Sandra, was I on fire for God? Was I just like one of those pounding words? There was like... I would even apologize. I'd like, Elder Harold, come tell me that what I did was okay. He said, don't ever apologize. And I was so full of fire, God, because the enemy had come with such a threat. And if you guys remember, I said that John and I had to follow a prophetic instruction. Well, I wasn't going to tell what that prophetic instruction, but your mind's about to be blown, Pastor Edward. The prophetic instruction... Well, and we added this, was we put our feet in oil. Remember, I told you that, okay? And remember, I told you how I put oil and I put salt. Remember, and I was preserving. And I said, I prayed crazy prayers, and I never talk about this publicly. And I said, God, you have need of me. Remember, I reminded him of his covenant. And I told him why. Because I said every spiritual assassin, and then there was natural things that we found out. Every assassin... spiritually and naturally, this after my life or after anything, I was breaking it and overturning it in the spirit. Are you with me? And I said there was a spiritual instruction I had to follow. I said, but I can't even tell you because you'd think it's too crazy. Remember that? Okay, well, the spiritual instruction was John and I had to take the money that we had and all the cash that we had, which we took the cash that we had to put it on our body. We had to anoint it. And then we had to find someone who was doing missionary work for orphanages and give it to them. So we started calling up because there were places that I knew, and I know I can't send this over to Africa. It's not going to ever make it. I can't send this cash because it had to be this cash. I said, God, you have to. So we started calling up Pushy.
Yeah, anyway, that wasn't John teaching. That was Paula, the adventures of Paula and John. Now, one of the adventures of Paula and John, according to this audio that she, one of her so-called sermons, and the instruction she says she got from the Lord was that her and John were supposed to take all the money that they had, and they were supposed to put it in oil, and then they had to put it all over their body. Now, who does that? Who? I don't even like to touch money because it's so dirty. Even God called it filthy lucre. And, you know, people, they snort cocaine through dollar bills or $10 bills, and you don't know what they do with the money before you get a hold of it because it's passed through so many hands. But her and John, they take money and they dip it in oil and then they put it on their body and then it's what's going to happen to that money? Then it's, I don't know what happens after that. Like, the money's supposed to be very special and then she's going to give it to a missionary. Who is going to want that money after that? What bank is going to want that money? Who's going to want to count that money? You can't make this stuff up. These are the adventures of... It's like, didn't that White House, that person, what was his name? What was his name, that guy over there, the White House spokesman from CNN? I wonder if he ever heard this tape. I wonder if he would say that. She's very respected and admired. Yeah, that sounds like witchcraft to me. That doesn't sound like anything I ever heard that comes from the Bible, where you're supposed to put money on your body. that you dipped in oil.
I was shocked to find out the number one motivator for people is fear.
It breeds over into your thinking. In fact, in the Bible, Job said, "The thing that I feared the most, I've now brought upon myself." What it is, but call the toll-free number, write the P.O. box, go to the website, and make sure you get this package on something greater, because we talk about overcoming. Oh, I got confident. I got the top of the world. Then we're everything that could be shaken would be shaken, and how we face those things and pick up the pieces of a broken life and see what God can do, because the end, I love the end, but you've got to get it. There's so much. I mean, I talk about how we came together, and there's no way that I could have ever orchestrated any of this, and how God really has something greater.
Yeah, I remember I told you last week that she claims that she talks a lot about how they came together and how God put them together. And the guy was married when she met him in 2011, when she met him on this airplane. But she says God put them on this airplane and God put them together. Well, I didn't know that God broke up marriages so that he could put you together with a man. I didn't know God did that. God orchestrated that, according to them. Yeah, that later on he divorced his wife, I think, in 2014. But God doesn't put you together with married people and then you wait for them to get a divorce and then you get together and then you say, God put us together. It's like, I thought God put him together with the other wife he had. I thought God did that. So anyway, this is the continuing adventures of John and Paula. Yeah, they say something about fear. Yeah, we better be afraid of you two, that's for sure. Anyway, here's John praising Paula. Oh.
Welcome to Faithfully. I love doing this show with you, baby.
I love it, too.
Mwah.
So,
well, that's the best part right there.
We've been married a few years now, and I love how we do life together. You know, when I've watched you minister, I've watched you pastor people, I've watched your heart for God. What would you say to the viewer out there that's trying to let go of something in their lives?
In a vessel.
Childhood, made millions, lost millions, found all this success. We both were very successful people. I started relating, you know, to you on a deeper level, and I thought there's a lot of levels we connect, you know, and that connectivity was to be our future.
What was incredible to me, and this was interesting, because the guy from Journey, you say we connected on many levels, but you, and I'll never forget this, the greatest connection you connected with me, first and foremost, and to this day, was always on a God level. Mm. And I'll never forget the first time you prayed over me.
Mm.
Oh, thee, O thou, O God, who sits between the cherubim. And yours was just so heartfelt and probably 30 words or something. And I melted like a puddle because I knew that you really cared about us being covered by God.
Absolutely. And, you know, our schedules are so insane sometimes. And you almost need a covering of prayer. I think every couple needs to cover each other in weakness or when you're tired. You know, we run like crazy and then you're supposed to get up and minister and connect people to God, and for me, it's just like, you know, God filled Paula up with the anointing. You know, right now we call upon the anointing that she would be able to lead them to your word, you know, and it was just really obvious that in those instances where, you know, you were kind of struggling to get your energy up, it sort of lifted you, it lifted your spirit, and you went out, and I've never seen you deliver a bad sermon, ever.
But, you know, baby, that is, I think if couples can understand this, it's the simple things of putting God right in your relationship.
First, yeah.
It's not that.
In the middle, right? God in the middle.
That prayer meant more to me than if you went and bought me the nicest pair of shoes or bought me the biggest house or put me in the nicest car. Because it's your walk with God that secures my life every day as my husband. We'll be right back. There's so much more. I just know this. God has something greater for you. And at a time when I thought, man, would God ever have really be able to give me a true love that satisfied and fulfilled me? The answer was an absolute yes. He is faithful. And God.
Yes, God was faithful to get John away from his other wife and put them together. Oh, please. He never heard her preach a bad sermon. Where have you been? Were you there when Paula told people that they could give money to get babies? Were you there? I think you were sitting there. I have an audio here. I know you were there for this one because I saw you there when one of Paula's associate pastors called her mother. I was there when a couple of the men in the church, I saw it on the internet. No, I wasn't there personally, but I saw it on the internet, John, where you were sitting there on the platform and grown men in the church were grown men that are older than your wife were calling her mother. And even this one guy here, I'm going to play this audio, they called her divine. She was incubating them. Yes, I heard you. You were there.
I have awesome privilege to discuss the value of a spiritual mother as it pertains to Pastor Paula. And so a parent is divine as one that begets or brings forth offspring, or a person who brings up and cares for another, and that's what we have embodied in Pastor Paula. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. And when it's talking about all things here, it's talking about all things that are consistent with the law of God and the gospel of Christ. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing here means, and is a reason sufficient to engage to the performance of the duty. For whatever is grateful and well-pleasing to God ought to be done with pleasure by us. From a principle of love to Him, by faith in Him, and with a view to His glory. And then such an action is acceptable in His sight through Christ Jesus our Lord, because He, God, is the one who ultimately arms Pastor Paula with authority for our development. You may be seated. What we have to understand here, as we are honoring Pastor, a spiritual parent is responsible to make decisions necessary for our development, whether we agree or not. I am so glad that the decisions that Pastor Paula makes is not based on my emotions. It is based on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that gives her those decisions, because sometimes we don't agree all the time because our feelings and our emotions will try to make us want something prematurely or try to get something. But thank God we have a spiritual mother that knows when to activate, when to pull back, when to move us into certain seasons, when to withhold. Amen? Because ultimately it is for our development. Now, her primary focus is not just to be our friend, even though she is, but the primary focus for her to prepare us for our destinies and our God-given purposes. Because I've learned that our capacity as spiritual children is determined by the caliber of leader that she is. Amen? And so our ability or power to do, experience, or understand is based on the quality of her character and the level of her ability. So her process in life can save us time. Certain things that she goes through can save us time. Now, I understand that principle very well, just like it is for my son. Based on what she goes through, I may never have to go through that because she already paid that price. Amen? And so the spiritual world rules the physical world. Say, the spiritual world rules the physical world. Another way to put it is spiritual things are more important or takes precedence over natural things in terms of priority. Spiritual things influence natural things. That's so important because she is our spiritual mother, and she is incubating us, carrying us in the spirit world, and nurturing us, and ultimately will birth us into greatness. That is so important because the things and the principles of God that she is teaching us, if we can grasp hold of it and receive it,
it will eventually influence our natural world. If we take the principles on trusting God, standing by faith, and apply those principles, which are spiritual, that she's downloading to us, it will influence our lives. If we take the principles of how to be a godly husband, a godly wife, it will influence and produce natural results in our families. Can you say amen? And understanding that, that is a big responsibility. How many here feel that there's greatness in their life? So think about this for a second. The greatness that God downloaded into you, as great as he has shown it to you, he packaged all that greatness up and he put it inside of Pastor to incubate it, to carry it, to nurture it, and to ultimately give it birth. That is a big responsibility. Where some of you guys will birth companies. Some of you guys will birth dreams and visions.
It sounds like some kind of cult over there. I remember, John, you were sitting there. You were on the platform when this guy was saying all this about your wife. You didn't even bat an eye. She's saying that she's a divine. She's divine. She's our mother. She incubates us. She births us. I didn't know that she could birth. She could birth this guy. I didn't know she. My. I don't. You know. We live in very, very perilous times. Very perilous times, and we better know God's word. Because there is some weird stuff going on in the name of Jesus. Weird. Judges 2:17 says, "And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so." And that's similar to what we're going through now. We see these people, they just go a-whoring after other gods. They just say the most ridiculous things coming from pulpits. And then these people gain national prominence. And you have other national leaders that were at one time were respected endorsing these people. We are living in perilous times. And Jesus said that it was going to be like that. He said it was going to be like that. And he knew what he was talking about, that's for sure. Let's look at a couple other scriptures that talk about. Here's 1 Timothy 1:10. "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine." Doctrine is important. A lot of these false prophets and these false teachers say, no, we don't, it doesn't really matter. We don't have to agree on doctrine. We're not going to agree on anything, but the principal things, the things that are important, we better agree on. Let's see. Let's read a couple more of these scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." Rightly dividing the word of God. 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, because they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Yeah, many. Many false prophets. 1 Timothy 6:3. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." Well, I don't have the rest of that scripture here. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." So don't let anybody tell you that you can't correct people, you're not supposed to say things, and you're not supposed to judge. The Bible says it clearly right here, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. doctrine and for reproof and for correction. It doesn't matter who the person is. All of us can be corrected if we're going off base. You want somebody to get you back on course and to correct you. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness like these people, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So you have a person like Jonathan Cain Friga, who observes his wife, observes her behavior, and he says that he's never heard her preach a bad sermon. I don't know, like, what planet are you on? What planet are you on? Anyway, I'm going to play. A couple more. Oh, am I not on now? I don't know if I lost my sound again. Anyway, I think I'm still on, but for some reason it was... let me know in the chat room if you can still hear me, because I'm not sure if the sound went off again. But I'm going to play this clip here from, like I said, now John is doing the program with Paula, and he's participating in her scams. She did her Day of Atonement for quite a while. She does that for weeks on end, where she's collecting offerings for people that they have to honor God. Well, if they have to honor God, then why do they have to send the money to you, number one? Anyway, you don't have to send God any atonement offerings. Jesus was the atonement offerings. You don't have to give any offerings for anything. All you have to do is pray. You give offerings to help your pastor, to help your church. You give offerings to help somebody, your friend, or you want to help a ministry or whatever. You don't give offerings to God, give him money. He doesn't need your money. People need your money. So, but she makes this whole religious thing, and she teaches these Passover offerings and these atonement offerings. Anyway, this is a little bit longer, this clip, but I wanted you to hear this because John's sitting there with her while she's just spewing off a bunch of nonsense, and the whole purpose behind her teaching is the end result is that you have to send an offering in order to get all these benefits. So here we go.
So on the eve of October 13th, Tabernacles start, and it goes until the eve of the 20th. Now, Tabernacles, in a nutshell, it really is two things. It's Thanksgiving and it's harvest. So I always say it's party time, because it's like if you just go Rosh Hashanah, repentance, and then atonement, and you stop right there, it's like saying the cross, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and you stop. You never tell all the benefits and the blessings from the finished work of Jesus Christ. So Tabernacles is really about the goodness of God, and it's a two-way exchange, because God's saying, this is celebration. Look, I gave my son for you. Now, prophetically, it represents that there's a day we will be in God's presence forever. There's a day we'll tabernacle with God forever. So even now, they call it Tabernacles or Sukkot. Even they literally take booths and they go live in little huts to tabernacle. But what God's saying is there's a day that we'll never be separated. Now, we know God's with us right now. But can you imagine when we're at the throne of God? Can you imagine where we're in the very presence of God? And so God's saying right now, here's what I want you to do to celebrate. First off, I'm going to read to you in the message because it's a little bit easier. Deuteronomy 16:15 says, celebrate this feast to God, your God. for 7 days at the place God designates. God, your God, has been blessing you in your harvest and in all your work. This is so key. So make a day of it really celebrated. How often do we just take for granted that we have a roof over our head, that we have a car to drive, that we have food to eat, that we have health in our body, that we have a loving spouse, that we have children? How many people want children, don't have them? Some people are going, oh, I wish I didn't. Oh, no. I mean, God's so good to us. Or we're saved. We get to worship freely. And God's saying, don't forget my goodness. And that's what Tabernacles is about. And here's like this principle. It's like the more you praise God and the more you celebrate and recognize how good he's been, the more that goodness flows into your life. I mean, think about this as a man, right? So if I say, hey, John, you sure look handsome right now. Well, what's it going to make you want to do?
Get close to you.
Exactly. If I start saying, there's nobody like you. You are like my lover. You are my husband. You are my best friend.
Get intimate with you.
All right. So the more we praise God, the more God responds. So the importance to this is just like, if you look how when the Jews celebrate their feasts, it's not for the year behind them, it's for the year ahead of them. So it's like in the Christian world, we say, give God an advance praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, that's what Psalm 103 has to do with Tabernacles. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord and forget not all his benefits, because this is what Tabernacles is about.
It sounds like a song here.
Yeah, I know. I think you're going to write a song for me.
No, they already wrote a few.
See, that's what it was. Watch, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And he starts naming all those benefits. So benefits are something like it's a bestowment. It's something that promotes the well-being. And this is what Tabernacles is about. It's really a time of celebration. That's why I say it's party time. It's a time that...
it's cohabiting with the Holy Spirit.
There you go. It's saying, thank you, Lord.
Move in with me.
You know, and people actually have like feast in their home, because there's a lot of things like they have meals together. They do things that are like having a big birthday party or a big feast, because God gave these biblical feasts to teach us something about him. And what God wanted to say was, yes, I require you to fast. Yes, I require you to sacrifice. But it's not all like all this, you know, harshness. It's I have so much goodness. And God wanted Israel to be recognized as a set-apart nation by his goodness. And that is, the Bible even says it's the goodness of the Lord that leads one to repentance. So you just see again and again. Now, there's some interesting things here, because Israel's, or Sukkot, tabernacle, Thanksgiving, was this joyous harvest festival to celebrate the ingathering of grain and wine. Now, that gets into an importance of grain and wine, which I wish I had time to really go, but that's all about harvest, okay? So what God's saying is, I have a harvest for you. What are you believing me for? Your children to be saved? What is it? Your household to be restored? Your purpose to be fulfilled? Your heart to be satisfied? Financial harvest? Because Tabernacles is all about Thanksgiving and harvest. So the historic feast, the main characteristic was the requirement to dwell in these temporary shelters or these rooms, so that they remembered God's protection, God's provision, which is that God's saying to you, just like he said in Matthew 6, don't take any thought of what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Look at the field. Do I not array them in a greater glory than Solomon? I mean, he's saying, I've got you. Don't think about how you're going to be provided for, how you're going to be protected. I'm God. And that's Tabernacles, is this two-way thing of you recognizing God has you and God saying, listen, I'm going to bless you so much greater than you could ever even begin to imagine. Because this is an opportunity. God says, don't stand before me empty-handed, but bring me a tabernacle's offering. During this whole feast season, they had to honor God. I want you to give me praise. I want you to thank me. There's a Thanksgiving offering. There's a tabernacle offering. And he said, there's these benefits. I'm going to talk to you about them. Increase in God's presence, miracles, double portion. I mean, there's so many benefits that God releases.
Yeah. There's so many benefits that God...
I have a word from God. Whatever you're doing, stop right now. Pay attention, because you do not want to miss what God has to say. And I say that with all humility.
Don't miss what God has to say. It's like, don't, in other words, don't miss what Paula has to say. So you see, that was about a 7-minute clip from her TV program that her and John are teaching the Bible together. Notice, John, he gets a few words in there edgewise, like the whole time she's talking, blah, 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 and she doesn't make any sense. Nothing she says makes any sense, because it all goes back to, in the end, that you have to send her an offering. So that's the purpose of almost everything she does, is it all... She teaches and teaches and teaches, and none of it makes any sense, but then it all comes down to, in the end, that you have to send an offering to her to get God to do things for you. But notice that John, he only makes a few little comments. He got, how much time did he have in that 7 minutes that he listened to all that nonsense? I think he probably maybe had 20 seconds worth of his portion, and notice that they have to throw this in there, that she says, well, what about if I say something about you being so handsome and you so wonderful? What do you want to do then? And he says, oh, I want to get intimate with you. That's what I mean. There you go again. And notice, even in the other video that we played, she says, oh, I melted like a puddle. Well, who melted like a puddle? Wasn't it the witch from The Wizard of Oz or something? I melted like a puddle. Well, that's a weird thing to say. These people are strange. These people are strange. They have their own kind of gospel. It's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say to Jonathan, you need to get saved. Get your wife saved. Take your wife someplace and go off someplace and get your life in order. But for the both of you, stop trying to teach the Bible, because you don't know what you're talking about and you're leading people astray. And God is very concerned about that. The main reason is he sent his son Jesus Christ to the earth to walk the earth for 33 years, which he didn't have to do, because he had a home in heaven that he left to come over here. And he comes here and he spends his life, his 33 years, doing good to people. In the end, he has to sacrifice his life so that you could have life, and you could have life more abundantly, and that people could get to know him, who he really is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is no joke. We're talking about people's eternal destiny. And meanwhile, you and your wife are making a mockery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is how we're being presented to the world. Because people, for the most part, they can't see us. They can see people on television, and this is what's being presented to the masses, is this kind of garbage that doesn't make any sense. And you and her can cry and quote scripture all you want about how you want people to know Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus never once asked for a Passover offering. He never once asked for a tabernacle offering. I don't know if he ever even talked about it. But he never talked about it in that way, that you have to come before me and you have to have money in your hand and you have to have an offering in your hand. He didn't do that. And if he didn't do it when he was on the earth, then it doesn't have to be done. It doesn't have to be done. When the widow came, and she came and she cast in her two mites, well, Jesus was impressed because she gave all that she had, because she gave from her heart. She wasn't looking for anything. She just wanted to be a blessing to people. She wasn't trying to impress him with her giving. She wasn't trying to get anything from him because she gave all she had. So it's a false gospel. It's another gospel that you two people are preaching. And you need to examine yourself and ask yourself, what am I doing? Why does it seem like you don't even think straight? It's like you're under some kind of a spell and you can't even think straight. It's like you're the man of the house. It's like stand up and take a stand for something and try to think for yourself, not because your wife is saying it. But anyway, that's our program. I wanted to just, I'm not going to have time to talk about the Word Network today. We'll do another show about that. But I wanted to mention this article that was in Charisma by Lee Grady. And this is, I was very disappointed, but I'm very disappointed in Charisma magazine anyway, because they seem to perpetuate the false gospel. They perpetuate another Jesus. They don't really take a stand. Okay, he says, some people will hate me for saying this, but I'll say it anyway. I'm praying for Paula. That's fine. That's fine. We're supposed to pray for people. I'm praying for her too, that she gets saved. Because he says she's a sister in the Lord. Well, no, that's not my sister in the Lord. My sister in the Lord doesn't sell Jesus. She doesn't sell Jesus. She doesn't sell miracles. My sisters and brothers in the Lord don't do those kind of things. That's not a sister in the Lord. But anyway, she says, he says, she has been dismissed as a charlatan partly because her ministry was investigated by Senator Grassley. Well, that has really nothing to do with it. People don't call her a charlatan because she was being investigated by Grassley. They call her a charlatan because they listened to her so-called Bible teaching. And then he says, no charges were ever filed. No charges were ever filed. And because her flamboyant pulpit style includes some over-the-top fundraising gimmicks. Well, yeah, so we're supposed to just overlook that? We're supposed to overlook the fundraising gimmicks? It says that she is a sister in Christ who at least deserves our prayers as she tries to build spiritual bridges during the most divisive season in recent American history. Please stop. Talk about, she's not building any bridges. People don't want to hear what she has to say for the most part. There's been an uproar over this whole thing about her getting this position in the White House. You don't build spiritual bridges by preaching a false gospel. And then you just want to overlook the fundraising gimmicks when you're selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now, we're not supposed to overlook that. You can pray for her, but you're also supposed to bring reproof and correction and not, it looks like you're endorsing this stuff. So I wonder what, this was a stupid article. And I don't know if he's trying to get an invitation to the White House or what, but Paula White's not a sister. She's not a Christian. And yeah, we pray that she gets saved and her husband gets saved and that she leaves the president alone and she rides off into the sunset. And then when she come back when you get saved and come back when you can tell us about the real Jesus and you stop promoting a false gospel. But anyway, like I said, we need to be aware of what's going on and not to endorse or accept false teachers. We're trying to change things. How are we ever going to change things and get back to presenting the gospel to people where they're going to accept it? Because right now, for the most part, it's like a laughing stock, because here's a person that's being represented to the nation as a spiritual advisor to a president, and she doesn't know the Bible for herself. And it's making a mockery of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to stand up and say we don't want it anymore. Somebody has to do it. And Charisma Magazine is not doing it. They're not doing it. It doesn't matter if you sell magazines. It doesn't matter if you have to get another job. It doesn't matter if you ever sell another book again or whatever. No, what matters is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and people's eternal destiny. That's the destiny that matters, is where are they going to wind up after they leave here? Where are they going to wind up? We are responsible for what we teach and for what we say. I'm not saying Christians are perfect, because we're not. We're not. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But when it comes to presenting the gospel, we have a Bible. And we take the Bible and we read it and we preach it and we tell people the truth, whether or not we get an offering, whether or not we earn a living from it. That's not the reason we do it. So we want to see change. And one of the ways that we can see change is that we reject false teachers. The Bible says a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. If they don't receive the admonition, and how many people have admonished Paula White and now her husband Jonathan, and they don't take heed, they just keep on. The Bible says reject them. And so we reject them. We reject the heresies. We reject the heretics. Fine, if you want to pray for them. Some are already giving themselves over to a reprobate mind. So they're not going to change. They're not going to give up their wealth and their fame for anything. They're just not going to give it up. Some of them hopefully will change. We hope that some of them repent and change and lead a life that is pleasing to God. In the end, we're all going to be judged by God. We're all going to have to take an account for the things that we've done in His name, and we have to take that seriously. So, and the thing is, we can't hate these people. We hate what they do. We can't lash out in any way. We can speak out against it. And hopefully people will take heed and stop supporting these people. That's the main thing, is stop sending them money. Hopefully some of them will repent and change, or some of them will just go away and take up a different profession. But leave people alone. The people are hurting out there. There's real tragedy going on in the world. People have cancer. They have kids on drugs, they're getting divorces, their husbands and their wives are committing adultery. And then these things are serious. And a church is here to try to help people, to try to put our arms around people that are hurting and to tell them that everything's going to be all right in the end. As long as we're on this earth, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have to go through things. But let's try to get it straight as far as the gospel is concerned and how we present the gospel to a lost and dying world. They're watching us. They're watching us, and they're listening to us. So the most important thing today is if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what these people do as far as how you're going to present yourself to God one day, because God's not going to ask you about Paula White. He's not going to ask you about Jonathan Cain. He's not going to ask you about President Trump. He's going to ask you about you. So no matter what these other people are doing, you have to answer to God one day for your life. And Jesus said you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We've all sinned and come short of the glory. Everybody has. There was only one perfect person that ever walked the earth. So we talk about these people and we point out the things that we want people to be aware of, that they don't fall for these wolves. But in the end, it's between you and God. It's between me and God. That's what's going to matter. He's not going to ask you about anybody else. He's asking you about you. Where do you stand today? So no matter what you've done in your life, he will forgive you. He will forgive you. And he'll give you a brand new life. He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. These things money can't buy. But that's what Jesus will do for you. So give your life to Jesus today. Repent of your sins. And you'll see, your life will change. I know, it happened to me. It was unbelievable, really, how I changed overnight. But that's what it means to be born again. You change and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.